Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Baba Basra, Tzadi Dalet. We are holding at the Mishnah on Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis, six lines off the bottom of the Amud. Hamoyche Piris Nechavera, we have Reuven selling grain to Shimon. Does he expect pure grain, or perhaps he knows that there's some foreign substances mixed into the grain, some, you know, a couple of beans from the nearby field, or maybe some dirt, some pebbles. Hareza makabel alo. Every buyer, every client willingly accepts, he tolerates up until a certain amount, a certain percentage of impurities. Roiva, a quarter of a kav tinaifes of impurities, lisa to a sa'ah. A sa'ah is comprised of six kav. A quarter of a kav is one part in 24. So it's a 24th of a sa'ah. That's the tolerance level. That's a reasonable amount. Elikech is meant to accept it, expect it, and accept it. Likewise, te'enim, if you purchased figs, up until 10% wormy is expected. Mikabel olav eser metulois lomei. He knows to accept up until 10 wormy figs per 100, 10%. Likewise, martav shel yain, he purchased a wine cellar full of barrels. He knows to expect some failed wine. Mikabel olav eser koises lomei per 100 barrels. He knows there'll be about 10 bad wine. Kankanam bisharin, he bought these empty pitchers in a place called Sharon. So there, you know, it's about 10% off. Mekabel olav eser pitasois lamea per 100 barrels. He expects 10 of them to be, you know, poor quality and, not lasting. Okay, so the Mishnah gives us a sort of a threshold for all different types of materials and substances and, merchandise. When it comes to peiros, it comes to grain, you know it's going to be up until a 24th. About, 4%, give or take, right? If it's figs, 10%, etc., etc. Tani Rav Katina, Reva Kitnis Lasa'ah. Now, this only applies to a fellow who finds, he discovers some beans inside his wheat. So that's typical, that's expected, that's where the whole idea of the Isser of Kitnias, the minig of refraining from Kitnias on Pesach comes from, because, these things were lookalikes and they would, mix in with each other, especially if they were processed nearby or even in the same granary. So you know to expect a roiva hakav of Kitnias persa'ah, but not just plain dirt. If he finds pebbles and dirt, that's not tolerable. That's not reasonable. Really? Vafur is loiv, it's just dirt. Then he's not meant to accept it. V'omer Rabba bar Chia katusva, he quotes Mishmei the Rabba as follows: Haboyer tzroir migorno shel chaver. Imagine Reuven walks over to his neighbor Shimon's granary, his pile of grain. He notices some little stones inside. He figures, do him a favor, he'll clean it out. He didn't do many favors. He actually caused him a loss. You know why? Because up until that point, you can't willingly, knowingly mix in dirt. But if it's a little dirt that's naturally mixed in, it's a natural phenomenon. It's expected to have little pebbles mixed into your wheat kernels. So you can include it in the sale like we have in the Mishnah. The wholesaler need not clean out his entire. He can leave a tolerable amount, a reasonable amount of impurity. But if you go and you pull it out, he can't then go mix it back in. That he cannot do. That he can't do. So if you cleaned it out, you really caused him a loss, because now he has to fill it back up with real grain. He has to pay him the value of real grain. So let's say he cleaned out 5 pounds of stones. He has to pay him back 5 pounds of wheat. So clearly we see that a seller is allowed to include even inedibles in his granary. So when the Mishnah speaks about finding, you know, discovering 1/24 of foreign material, it refers not only to foreign edible material like kidneys, but even to inedibles like afruris, which is the basis for this halacha here, that since he could have included it and this fellow took it out, now he has to compensate him for that, as though it was worth chitin. Says the Gemara, you're right, but there is some difference between edibles and inedibles. Kidneys, if he discovers some lentils mixed into his wheat, roiva. So there we apply the Mishnah's formula, a roiva hakav is the threshold. So up until and including a roiva, passes. Afiruris, but if it's inedibles mixed in, then you only have up until and not including a roiva. So it has to be below the roiva, pachas mi roiva. So more strict when it comes to inedibles. That's it's not acceptable. Really? Afiruris roiva loy? By inedibles, you can't go until and including a roiva? A roiva has passed the threshold, really? Vatanya, listen to this brisa, which seems to say otherwise. Irrespective of what the material is, if it's bara, if it's, you know, beans or afiruris, roiva is fine. Hamecher peris lechaver. Reuven sold Shimon merchandise. Shchitin, he sold them produce, he sold them wheat. Mekabel olav roiva kitnis asa. A client knows to expect, at least, you know, up until a roiva of kidneys per sa. Okay, so he finds one part in 24, which happened to be beans, the deal passes. Soirim, if he sold them barley, mekabel olav roiva nishevas asa. And barley, sometimes you find like hay, like straw that fell in. So up until the 24th. Adoshim, if he sold them beans. Now beans are harvested differently than the other crops because here you sort of uproot it. You pull it out of the ground with its roots. And typically, because of the way it's harvested, you find more, you know, dirt and stones and right. So makabel olav roiva afruris l'sa. In this case, the brisa makes note of afruris, which is typically found amongst the adoshim, up until the 24th. So the brisa cited three examples. Kidneys mixed into the chitin, nishoves mixed into the sa'irim, and afruris mixed into the adoshim. The Gemara is assuming at this point, no difference, it's all really just examples. My lab, let's assume. Muadin l'chitim l'sa'irim. Afruris found amongst the food applies to the chitim to the sa'irim as well. No, what does the Brisa say? If it's merely 1 in 24, you're good. So you see, even if it's inedible, the same rule applies. As is the Gemara, no. No, absolutely not. Shani adoshim de mi'akar akrilohu. That the aloha of afruris is strictly regarding adoshim because it's harvested differently than the other crops. It's pulled out with its roots. So by the adoshim and only by the adoshim do we allow so much afruris to be included. 1/24th. But by the other grains, perhaps it's not that way. Perhaps you need less afruris to pass. Says the Gemara, okay, so now let's go the other way. It would seem that the brisa, by the way it structured its halacha, specifically connecting afruris only to adoshim, that indicates to us that in fact you're right, that by chitim and so'irim, which are, you know, cut instead of pulled out, there you don't have such a high tolerance level pertaining to inedibles, just as the Gemara told us earlier. So it's a raya from the, instead of a kasha, we're not turning it around into a raya, al time with adoshim. Apparently, it's only specifically to adoshim, the mi'akar, akarlu, because they're harvested in this manner. There we allow a high level of afruris, avochitus ariloi, but by other grains, wheat and barley, we don't allow so much afruris. Tivshet mina would appear that this is, in fact, going to provide support to the earlier halacha, that in fact, chiti v'se'ari, when it comes to wheat and barley, the afruris, if you discover inedibles, dirt and loy mikabel, he's not going to accept upon himself such a high percentage, such as 1/24th. Is that a true raya? No, says the Gemara, no. Lo'elam chiti v'se'ari mikabel, afruris, perhaps a client is expected to tolerate, to absorb, even a 24th of Afrutis, even if it's mixed into his chitim asari. So why did the Braisa specifically relate Afrutis to Adoshim, if it applies to all equally? The answer is, because perhaps, I would think the other way around, perhaps Adoshim, it's so expected that perhaps even more than a 24th would be considered okay. Adoshim, it's really, the point is to highlight that when it comes to lentils, the Sakhada Techamina, perhaps I would say, we have a broader tolerance there. To keep it the Mi'aka Akadu, since they uproot them, that's how they harvest them. So perhaps even if it's more than the 24th, he should accept it. Kamash, well, the point is no. Now you're going a bit too far. You're overstepping your boundary. So, bottom line is like this. If he buys wheat, barley, beans, and he finds some foreign substance, so according to Rav Katina, it's only the halacha of a 24th only pertains to edibles. So if you find a 24th of foreign edibles, that's accepted. It's acceptable. When it comes to afruris, so by adoshim, so 1/24th is considered within the tolerance level, but when it comes to chitim sa'irim, you've gone too far. Now let's say, in fact, he went too far. So let's just pick a classic example. He bought purchased a sack of wheat, and he finds 30%, beans. So it's way over the threshold. What happens now? Amar Afuna in Bala Napos. Let's say the buyer senses that something's amiss, a bit too much here. He decides to bring in his equipment. He's going to pick out the farm material. So the point is, once he's getting into it, he's putting in the effort, he's getting his equipment going, in Bala Napos, Manapos Kula. He has a right to clean out the entire sack, separate the farm material, and insist on getting 100% wheat. I'm not going to even accept 4%. Because once you push the envelope too far, you went beyond the threshold, I'm going to clean it out to zero. And now you owe me a full sack of wheat. Amri lo dina v'amri lo knasa. Now there are two approaches to explain this halacha. Some said, it's din. It's standard halacha. Readily understood, as we're going to see in a minute. Some maintain that according to the letter of the law, really, he wouldn't have a right to insist on zero farm, 100% pure material. Rather, it's a knas. We penalize a seller. You overdid it. You must have mixed in the other stuff. You have no right to do that. So now we penalize you. We insist that you take it down to zero. And you give him full pure material. Explains the Gemara. Amar Ladino. Some maintain that it's a din. Why? If you push too far, now the buyer has a right to insist on 100% pure. Why? Mandi of Zuzi. When a person lays out his money, he spends money to buy grain. What does he expect? What does he really want? He wants 100% pure grain, right? A perisha piri yoiv. He's paying for pure grain. Now, if it's just a little bit in there, it's not worth his while. Rashbam calls it yotza schari behefseida. He's going to invest so much to pull out a couple of pebbles, it's not worth his time. Veroiva, if it's just a roiva of a kav, 1/24, it's too insignificant for him to spend his time on it, picking it out and proving his case to the seller, so it doesn't bother. He's like Michael, lo tarach inish. But if it's yoisim a roiva, if he finds it to be more than a roiva, tarach inish. Yeah, so in this case, a buyer would find it worth his while to go out and investigate, find out exactly how much it is. And once he starts picking, he gets his equipment warmed up and moving. Okay, once I'm there, may as well just clean it all out. I was never really michael anything. It just wasn't worth my while. But now I'm here already. May as well do a full cleaning job and get pure wheat. Given the tarach, once he's involved, tarach bekulei, he'll just clean the entire thing. So now he has a right to insist on pure wheat all the way. Some maintain that it's just a penalty. Why? Because really, Raiva Shchiach, a quarter kav, meaning 1/24, is commonly found. It's a reasonable amount, which is deemed, sort of a natural phenomenon. Okay, Yoisa Lishchiach, but more than that is not common. Something's fishy. V'ihu hu d'arif, and we speculate, we suspect that the seller mixed it in. You've given the Arev, Kansur Rabban Bekulei. If you did that, we penalize you. Now you have to give it to him totally pure. So again, Rav Huna has a chiddush. If he overstepped the threshold, he went beyond the 1/24th mark, the buyer has a right to insist on pure grain all the way down. Why? Either it's a din or it's a knas. Simon called Trey Shtori de Rav and Bar Nachman Noa Kovnus. Now we have lots of rias one way or the other. Meisvei, here comes a kasha. On Rav Huna, according to the pshat that it's Meikir Hadin, the actual halacha dictates as such that you clean it entirely, not just the extra, not just to bring it down to tolerance level, you bring it down totally to the bottom. Meisvei comes a kasha from none other than Meseches Kilayim. Well, we find a similar halacha that up until the 24th is just nullified, it's mixed in, it's not significant. Kol sa'a, so here he planted a sack of wheat. So you have a sa'a, a huge amount, sheyesh ba roiva min achar, in which you discover 1/24th of a different type, a quarter of a kaf per sa'a, which is a 24th, just about, right, of barley, of beans. That poses a problem of kilayim, of mixing in two types of plants. You have to bring it down. You have to bring it below, you have to diminish it below that threshold. So a 24th is too much. It's significant, it's substantial. It appears like you're mixing two minim. So you have to bring it below that 4% mark. And then it's just but. Now sub ruha, the Gemara figured, the roiva de kilayim, ki yoisim roiva de hacha. The shear of roiva, quarter of a kav, which is the 24th, pertaining to kilayim, apparently is problematic, as it would seem from this Mishnah, right? 24th is a problem, it's too much. So although when it comes to our sugi of the mechira of the transaction, we say a 24th is tolerable. For some reason, my kilayim, a 24th is too much. You need to be below a 24th for some reason. Okay, so we equate a 24th. Let's call it 4%. 4% by kilayim is beyond the threshold, beyond the limit. And it's like kiyosim reiva dachadam. It's like more than 4% when it comes to the Baba Basra halacha of the Mecca Chomemka, right? And what does the Bryce mission say? If you discovered too much, how far do you go down? Just a little bit. Bring it below the level. The katani, you might. So just bring it down. Don't say bring it down to zero. That's a kasha on Rav Huna who says, you know, once it has significance, once it has chashivas, once you overstep your boundary, you clean it all out. You can't just leave, bring it down to below the threshold and just leave the rest. Says the Gemara, no. Reiva to kilayim ki reiva to hachadami. Truthfully, a reiva, even pertaining to kilayim, has the same status as a reiva pertaining to buying and selling, meaning, really, it's insignificant. If it's a reiva or less, it's not beyond the threshold, it's not beyond the limit. Yoch, if that's the case, amayamay, so why even bother bringing it down? If it's only at 4%, you're good. Shemchomet de kilayim. Well, machron, kilayim is the Isser Torah, so we say, you know what? Don't allow such a large percentage of foreign substances to be planted together, to be mixed together. Yoch, if that's the case, that's only a chumra ema seifa. How do we understand the next part of the Mishnah? Rabbi Yosi, emir yavar. Rabbi Yosi says, no, you got to clean it all out. It's only a chumra. The entire din of being a might of bringing it below the threshold is just a stringency. Does it make sense that Rabbi Yosi would not take a stringency and add to that a double stringency? No, bring it down to zero. So if you would say that it's mandated according to the letter of the law, meaning that by kilayim, a 24th is already beyond the threshold, and so we can understand why Rabbi Yosi insists on taking it down to zero. So if we would work with the earlier assumption that 4% by kilayim is intolerable, it's like going beyond 4%, you know, when it comes to impurity is discovered in a sale. So then, it's asher min ha-Torah, it's kilayim, b'okam miflugi. Now we understand the machlokes between Tanakamu says, you know what, savar lekansinan ha-Torah, it's asher yisura. So then, the din would require that he goes down to below the 4% mark. But that's it. We're not going to spread. We're not going to extend the knas. We're not going to say, you know what? You went too far. Bring it all the way down to zero. Loi kan sinan hetera, we don't require you to remove even the permissible amount, the insignificant amount, below 4%, otu yisur, on account of the part that's, you know, beyond the threshold. That's the Tanakama's opinion. Rabbi says, Savar kan sin, Rabbi says, you know what? It's a knas. We do penalize you. Why'd you do it in this manner? Why weren't you careful? Went up to 4%? Clean it all out. So that would be a theoretical way to understand the machlekes. If in fact 4% is problematic by kelaim, eli amrus kerev adami. But if you maintain that 4% by kelaim is just like 4% by the mechira, which basically means it's bottle, so minatara you're okay. It's not kelaim. Tanakama says you might because it's a chumra by kelaim. We don't want to leave it like that. But amai yover, why is Rabbi insisting on fully cleaning it out? I mean that's a double decker chumra. Answer is hasam hainu time. The reason there is to Rabbi Yosi. The reason Rabbi Yosi is like this, Mishum de mechzi ke mekayim kelaim. The halacha is that just like a person cannot physically plant, mix up two minim, because it constitutes kelaim. Likewise, a person cannot allow kelaim to grow in his field, even if he just notices kelaim growing. He can't leave it there. The Rashbam brings a pasuk. It's a malchus. It's like doing an isur b'yadayim. So Rabbi Yosi holds that if he sees such a significant amount mixed into his wheat, just diminish, just bring it below the tolerance level, below the threshold, that wouldn't be enough. Because now it looks like he's leaving over the rest willingly, consciously. If it's just a little bit to begin with, okay, it's bottled, nobody takes notice. But if once it's a substantial amount, which obligates him to get over there and reduce it, and it reduces it to just below the threshold, it appears like he's consciously leaving the rest there. It's like he's being mekayim kelaim. It's like maris ayin. It gives the wrong perception. Therefore, we require him to remove the entire thing. Continues the matoshma. Here comes another kasha. Again, Rav Huna told us that if there is a certain amount of deviation, right, if it's beyond the threshold, beyond the acceptable norm, then we have to undo the entire thing. It's not enough to reduce it. You have to undo the entire thing. And according to the second pshat in Rav Huna, it was a knas. Toshmai comes a kash. Shnayim shefkidu etzelecha. Two people were mafkid. They deposited their money with a fellow. Reuben deposited $100 and Shimon $200. Zem manav zem asayim. Okay, comes time to pick up the money. They both decided that they deposited 200. They both had grand ideas. Zayimer Masayim Shali, Reuben claims the 200. Vizayimer Masayim Shali, Shimon claims 200. No, what is he meant to do? He only has 300 in total. Tanakami says, look, Noisin Lezemana, you know what? Give 100 to Reuben. He certainly deserves 100. Uzemana, take the other 100, give it to Shimon. Vashar and the rest, the third 100, leave until Eliyahu Navi comes. Yemunach Ashiyav Eliyahu. And we don't penalize the entire amount. We don't apply a knas and make him lose the entire amount. The part that's in question, we put aside. But we don't make them forfeit the entire amount. It's a kasha. And Rav Huna who says, well, once there's deviation, we forfeit the entire amount. The whole thing gets affected. Hachi Hashta says, how do you compare the two things? Hasam vaday mana lamar. There, Reuben certainly deserves 100. I mean, that's his money. And Shimon also deserves 100. So what right do we have? Why would, what would be basis or justification for taking it all away? Hacha, but in our case, where the client finds an unusual, unreasonable amount of pebbles sitting in his wheat, we speculate. And in fact, the farmer mixed it all in. That's perfect justification for penalizing him on the entire amount. Clean it all out, because look, you mixed it in. Toshma misefa comes akasha. It's a riot from the next part of the Mishnah, which actually will prove that we do penalize. And we do forfeit the entire amount. Or Rabbi Yisim Cain, if you're going to give Reuben and Shimon both 100, the cheater won't lose anything, right? because he only had 100 to begin with. So you're not really going to force him to admit. Im Kain, if you're going to give each one their 100, Ma'if said the Ramai. How's the Ramai, the liar, going to lose? So in order to try to influence him, to try to get him to admit, this is what you should do. Ella, Hakol Yemunach Hatsheva Liyo, take the entire amount and put it away till El Yonavi comes, hoping that the dishonest party amongst them will now say, look, what do I have to gain by holding out? Let me just admit, I'm losing more than I'm gaining. So let me just admit that the 100 is mine and take it and walk away. So basically, according to Rabbi Yossi, no. We put it all away. Hakol Yemunach Hatsheva Liyo. You put it all away. So we see that what? We apply a knas on the entire amount. That's a writer of Huna. That the whole amount is affected. How can you compare the two cases? Hastam vada yika ramai. In that case, certainly there's one person lying. It makes sense that we take this drastic approach. Here by the farmer, we don't really have evidence that he mixed it in. Who's to say the ruvi arv that he mixed in the extra pebbles? It could, you know, it's unusual, but it could have happened naturally. So perhaps there's no basis for knas, and you can't force him to clean out the entire amount. Tashmai comes another raya that in fact we apply a broad knas on the entire problematic amount, not only on the extra amount but on the entire amount. And the entire transaction gets affected by the knas. Tashmai shtar sheish beribus. You have a document, a shtar chayiv, which contains a forbidden element of ribis, right? So he lent him $1 million, and he's asking for extra interest payments as well. The Remeir says he forfeits the entire amount. You cannot use the shtar, not on the principal, not on the interest. No. So what do we see from here? That in fact the entire amount, the entire transaction, gets forfeited, gets affected by the knas. How can you compare the two stories? In fact, in the case of the shtar, the entire shtar is a violation of the Torah. Because, as Rashbam says, when one lends money with ribbis, you know, you don't have to wait until you get paid the ribbis to be over. As soon as he makes that arrangement, he transgressed the Isser of Loises Simon. Don't place, don't arrange Neshech. Don't arrange ribbis. So their shtar formalized this illegal arrangement. And therefore the entire shtar and all the amounts included in the shtar is affected and forfeited and nullified and invalidated. But over here by the farmer, by the client who discovered extra, you know, pebbles, me, Yema, Diru, Viarav, who's to say that he mixed it in? Maybe it happened on its own, so you have no right to penalize him on the entire amount. Toshmai comes another right, me a seifa. Because the Mishnah continues. Chacham Imrim, Chacham disagrees with Rav Meir. No, the entire shtar is not invalidated. Goyves HaKeren, he's still entitled to collect his principal amount. If Eino Goyves Ribas, but not the interest. So what do we see? We don't apply a knas on the entire amount. It's a kasha on Rav Huna. Who says we do? Hachihashta, once again, how could you compare? Let's flip it around. Hosam Vade Karna De Teru. In case of the loan, certainly the actual principal was permissible. I mean, money that I lent him, I deserve it back. So we allow you to collect it based on the shtar. But in case of the excessive pebbles, excessive amount of foreign impurities, who's to say he didn't mix it in? Meaning there's true justification, true basis to assume that it was mixed in, so therefore he has to clean it all out. Toshmai comes another riot. We have a loch later on above a Basra. He sold him a huge plot of land. A huge piece of property, Beis Kur, which is a place that has 30 sa'ah. And he told him, I'm selling you a Beis Kur offer. But he added the words, more or less, hein chaser hein yeser, to allow himself some leeway. So the Mishnah says, very interesting, it's a similar formula, 1/24. If he gave him a little extra, or a little less, if the difference is just a 1/24, then, it's acceptable. But if you went beyond that, Not only does he have to return the extra and bring it down to a 24th, he has to give him all the extra until he brings it down to the exact amount of a base kor. Tani Ravim Bar Nachman. Lo yas ha-moyser b'vadu machser. Not only does he have to give him back the extra beyond the 24th, beyond the 4%, elo machser lo yas ha-kolor v'ayin kulam. If he went beyond 4%, he's got to give him back everything, all the extras, all the quarter calves that were extra. So what do we see? Al mehecha d'bay l'aduri. So we see when you have to return something, to give it all back. Clean sweep. Kulaya. Kula mahadar. So you see that even if there is a certain amount of machila, but once you go past that, you overstep your boundaries, you got to give it all back. So we see from here that like Rafuna's halacha, that mi'ikar hadin, if you go past the tolerance level, past a reasonable amount, the mechila expires. You have to give it all back. How could you compare the two cases? In the case of the land, if you would have not added that statement, which means more or less, we would have expected him to give him an exact base quarter, not more, not less. Right? Because that's what he told him. But because he added the words hin chaser hin yaser, we say, you know what? There's a bit of leeway. As long as it's an insignificant amount, 1/24. But if it's more than that, it's a davar gadol, it's a davar chashev, he has to give it all back. Right? Hin chaser hin yaser umbli. Mu reveal ish chashev. But if it's just a quarter of a kav, which is about 4%, like chashev, it's not significant. And apparently, you know, he's going to overlook that and just, you know, absorb it. But if it's more than Yasin Ravia, Chashiv, it's Chashiv. It's a piece of property. Can turn it to, if I add together all these different, all these extra pieces that I gave you, I can make a field for myself. In fact, there's a Gers in the Gemara, the Kivin, the Chazle, the Starufe, Betishas, Kavan, Havali, Arach, Hashifte, Ve'api, Nafsha. Some are Gers, this part, and some are not. The point here is that, you know, if you have 9 Kav, which is almost as much as he gave, which is a bit more than what he gave him, because, 1/24 of a sa'ah. The context of a base kor, which is 30 sa'ah, is 7.5 kav. So if you went past that, he's closing in on Tisha's kabin. Tisha's kabin is like its own entity. It's the minimum size of a field. So basically what he's saying, what the Gemara is saying is, a piece of property is chashev. If it's just small, okay. But once it gets to a significant size, it's already, you know, closing in on its own, being considered its own separate entity. So you have to give it all back. Well, you have to give it the entire thing back. I can't just say, okay, you know what? I'll reduce it. I'll just give you the extra beyond 4%. And the rest I'm holding on. No. It's like you've got an extra field. Give it back. As opposed to the farmer who sold a bag of wheat. The client knows. I mean, it's pretty natural to find. It's understood you'll find a couple of pebbles. It's just the way it goes. Right? So, you know, he knows to expect it, and he's Meichel, up at a certain amount. And if it's past that amount, so perhaps he has to reduce it and bring it back below that, you know, threshold. But who says that he's now entitled to a full, entirely pure sack of wheat? That's a chiddush. Okay, let's just recap today's daf. We had a Mishnah, which gives us various, you know, formulas of tolerance when it comes to buying various goods. For instance, when it comes to wheat, it's presumed that you have up until the 24th of foreign substances, whether it's kitnis, whether it's afruris. Gemara says when it comes to afruris, it's a bit less. It's only up until, not including the 24th. Now, what if he goes past this amount? Ravuna says the client has a right to clean it all out completely, bring it down to zero. Whether it's based on a din, because the point is, I'm only moichel that much, but once it goes past that point, I'm involved in cleaning it out. I want to clean the whole thing out. Or it's a knas. Look, apparently you mixed it in, and now we penalize you for doing so. We had a lot of different instances which were more compared to this concept, even though some involved dini mammonis of pikada and then ribis. But we have this underlying point of there was some deviation, and the question is, do we now, you know, package it all together as one? For instance, in the case of the ribbis, does he forfeit the entire deal, or is it just the ribbis part? We tried to bring rayos one way or the other. But as we went along, the Gemara did differentiate between our sugya and those sugyas. So each one's a standalone situation with its own unique properties. All the best to you and Aslacha Rabbah.